Prunella Scales, Freddie Jones, and Dennis Hawthorne in Bernard Shaw's comedy, You Never Can Tell. A dentist's waiting room on a fine August morning in 1896. Not the usual tiny London den, but the best sitting room of a furnished lodging in a terrace on the seafront at a fashionable watering place. That was my first tooth.
Your first? Do you mean to say that you began practicing on me?
Well, every dentist has to begin with somebody. Why didn't you let me give you gas?
Because you said it would be 5 shillings extra.
Oh, don't say that. Makes me feel as if I'd hurt you for the sake of 5 shillings.
Well, so you have. Why shouldn't you? It's your business to hurt people. You have a good view of the sea from these rooms. Are they expensive?
Yes.
You don't own the whole house, do you?
No.
Your furniture isn't quite the latest thing, is it?
It's my landlord.
I suppose you haven't been here long.
6 weeks. Is there anything else you would like to know?
Any family?
I'm not married.
Of course not. Anybody can see that. I mean, sisters and mother and that sort of thing.
Not on the premises.
If you've been here 6 weeks and mine was your first tooth, the practice can't be very large, can it?
Not as yet.
Well, good luck. 5 shillings, you said it would be?
5 shillings.
You charge 5 shillings for everything?
Yes.
Why?
It's my system. I'm what's called a 5-shilling dentist.
How nice. Well, here, a nice new 5-shilling piece. Your first fee.
Thank you.
The young lady's brother, sir.
Am I in time?
No, it's all over.
Oh, did you howl?
Oh, something awful. Mr. Valentine, this is my brother Phil. Phil, this is Mr. Valentine, our new dentist. He's only been here 6 weeks, and he's a bachelor. The house isn't his, and the furniture is the landlord's. He got my tooth out beautifully at the first go, and here are our great friends.
Been asking a lot of questions?
Oh, no.
I'm glad to hear it. It's so good of you not to mind us, Mr. Valentine. The fact is, we've never been in England before, and our mother tells us that the people here simply won't stand us. Come and lunch with us.
Oh, do, Mr. Valentine.
At the Marine Hotel, 1:30.
We shall be able to tell Mama that a respectable Englishman has promised to lunch with us.
Now, say no more, Mr. Valentine. You'll come.
Say no more. I haven't said anything. May I ask who I have the pleasure of entertaining? It really is quite impossible for me to lunch at the Marine Hotel with two perfect strangers.
Oh, what bosh. One patient in 6 weeks. What difference does it make for you?
No, Dolly. My knowledge of human nature confirms Mr. Valentine's judgment. He is right. Let me introduce Miss Dorothy Clandon, commonly called Dolly. I'm Philip Clandon. We're from Madeira, but perfectly respectable so far.
Clandon? Are you related?
Yes, we are.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, we are. We are. It's all over, Phil. They know all about us in England. Oh, Mr. Valentine, you can't think how maddening it is to be related to a celebrated person and never be valued anywhere for one's own sake.
Oh, excuse me, the gentleman I was thinking of was not celebrated.
Gentleman?
Yes. I was going to ask whether you were, by any chance, a daughter of Mr. Densmore Clandon of Newbury Hall.
No.
Well, come, Dolly. How do you know you're not?
Oh, I forgot, of course. Perhaps I am.
Don't you know?
Not in the least.
It's a wise child.
The fact is, Mr. Valentine, we are the children of the celebrated Mrs. Lanfrey Clandon, an authoress of great repute in Madeira. No household is complete without her works. We came to England to get away from them. They're called the 20th century treatises.
20th century cookies.
20th century creed.
20th century clothing.
20th century conduct.
20th century children.
20th century parents.
Cloth limp, $0.50.
Or mounted on linen for hard family use, $2. No family should be without them. Read them, Mr. Valentine. They'll improve your mind.
But not till we've gone, please.
Quite so. We prefer people with unimproved minds. Our own minds are in that fresh and unspoiled condition.
Phil, he prefers people whose minds are improved.
Well, in that case, we shall have to introduce him to the other member of the family. The woman of the 20th century, our sister Gloria.
Nature's masterpiece.
Learning's daughter.
Madeira's pride.
Beauty's paragon.
Bosh. No complexion.
May I have a word?
Excuse me, go ahead.
So sorry.
I really must give a hint to you young people.
Oh, come. I like that. How old are you?
Over 30.
He's not.
He is.
27.
33.
Stuff.
I appeal to you, Mr. Valentine.
Well, really, 31.
You were wrong.
So are you.
We're forgetting our manners, Dolly.
Yes, so we are.
We interrupted you, Mr. Valentine.
You were going to improve our minds, I think.
The fact is, your...
Our appearance.
Oh, do let me speak.
The old story. We talk too much.
We do. Shut up, both.
Mum.
Thank you. Now, may I ask, to begin with, have you ever been in an English seaside resort before?
No.
No,
I thought so. Well, in a seaside resort, there is one thing you must have before anybody can afford to be seen going about with you. And that's a father, alive or dead. Am I to infer that you have omitted that indispensable part of your social equipment?
I'm afraid...
We have.
Then I'm sorry to say that if you're going to stay here for any length of time, it will be impossible for me to accept your kind invitation to lunch. Come, Dolly.
Good morning.
Oh, stop, stop. You make me feel a perfect beast.
That's your conscience, not us.
My conscience? My conscience has been my ruin. Listen to me. Twice before, I have set up as a respectable medical practitioner in various parts of England. On both occasions, I acted conscientiously and told my patients the brute truth instead of what they wanted to be told. Result, ruin. Now I've set up as a dentist, a five-shilling dentist, and I've done with conscience forever. This is my last chance. I spent my last sovereign on moving in, and I haven't paid a shilling of rent yet. I'm eating and drinking on credit. My landlord is as rich as a Jew and as hard as nails, and I've made 5 shillings in 6 weeks. If I swerve by a hair's breadth from the straight line of the most rigid respectability, I'm done for. But under such circumstances, is it fair to ask me to lunch with you when you don't know your own father?
Well, after all, our grandfather is a canon of Lincoln Cathedral.
What? Have you a grandfather?
Only one.
Oh, my dear good young friends, why on earth didn't you tell me that before? A canon of Lincoln, that makes it all right, of course. Just excuse me while I change my coat.
That wretched, bankrupt ivory snatcher makes a compliment of allowing us to stand him a lunch. Probably the first square meal he's had for months.
That's too beastly. I won't stand it any longer, Phil. Here in England, everybody asks whether you have a father, the very first thing.
I won't stand it either. Mama must tell us who he was.
Two ladies for you, miss. Your mother and sister, miss, I think.
Well, children, how is the toothache, Dolly?
Cured, thank heaven. I've had it out.
And the dentist, a first-rate professional man of the highest standing, is coming to lunch with us.
Phil?
Beg pardon, ma'am. I'm waiting for Mr. Valentine. I have a message for him.
Who from? Dolly.
Only the landlord, ma'am.
Let me introduce you, Mr. Valentine. My mother, Mrs. Lanfrey Clandon.
How do you do?
My sister, Gloria.
Oh. How do you do?
How do you do? I understand that we are to have the pleasure of seeing you at luncheon today, Mr. Valentine.
Thank you. If you don't mind. I mean, if you'll be so kind. What is it?
The landlord, sir, wishes to speak to you before you go out.
Oh. Tell him I have 4 patients here. If he wouldn't mind waiting just 2 minutes, I'll slip down and see him for a moment. Say I'm busy, but that I want to see him.
Yes, sir, I will, sir.
We are detaining you, I'm afraid.
Not at all, not at all. Your presence here will be the greatest help to me. The fact is, I owe 6 weeks' rent, and I've had no patients until today. My interview with my landlord will be considerably smoothed by the apparent boom in my business.
Oh, how tiresome of you to let it all out. And we've just been pretending that you were a respectable professional man in a first-rate position.
Oh, Dolly, Dolly, my dearest, how can you be so rude? Will you excuse these barbarian children of mine, Mr. Valentine?
Not at all. I'm used to them. Would it be too much to ask you to wait 5 minutes while I get rid of my landlord downstairs?
Oh, don't be long. We're hungry.
Dolly, dear.
All right, thank you. I shan't be long. Yes. Thank you.
Did you observe? Love at first sight. You can add his scalp to your collection, Gloria.
What nonsense you do talk.
Shh, pray, Phil. He may have heard you.
Oh, not me. And now, look here, Mama. Dolly and I have been talking over things a good deal lately, and there are certain matters upon which we are beginning to feel that you might take us a little more into your confidence.
Phil, take care. I never ask you questions about your private concerns. You are not going to question me, are you?
I think it due to ourselves to say that the question we wanted to ask is as much our business as yours.
Besides, it can't be good to keep a lot of questions bottled up inside you. You did it, Mama. See how awfully it's broken out again in me.
I see you want to ask your question. Ask it.
Well, it's a simple one. Now, when the ivory snatcher...
Phil!
A dentist is an ugly word. The man of ivory and gold asked us whether we were the children of Mr. Densmore Clandon of Newbury Hall. In pursuance of the precepts in your treatise on 20th century conduct and your repeated personal exhortations to us to curtail the number of unnecessary lies we tell, we replied truthfully that we didn't know.
Neither did we.
The result was that the gum architect made considerable difficulties about accepting our invitation to lunch. Although I doubt if he's had anything but tea and bread and butter for a fortnight past. Now, my knowledge of human nature leads me to believe that we had a father and that you probably know who he was.
Stop, Phil. Your father is nothing to you nor to me. That is enough.
Mother, we have a right to know.
Gloria.
We? Who is we?
We three.
In your mouth, we used to mean you and I, Gloria.
We're hurting you. Let's drop it. We didn't think you'd mind. I don't want to know.
I'm sure I don't. Oh, don't look like that, Mama.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you, Phil.
We have a right to know, Mother.
Ah, you insist.
Do you intend that we shall never know?
Oh, Gloria, don't. It's barbarous.
What's the use of being weak? You see what has happened with this gentleman here, Mother. The same thing has happened to me.
What do you mean?
What happened to you?
Oh, nothing of any consequence. On board the steamer, the first officer did me the honor to propose to me.
No! It was to me!
The first officer? Are you serious, Gloria? What did you say to him? Oh, excuse me, I have no week. But I cannot tell you what you want. You are all too young.
Well, this is rather a startling departure from 20th century principles.
Answer all your children's questions and answer them truthfully as soon as they are old enough to ask them. See 20th century motherhood.
Page one.
Chapter one.
Sentence one.
My dears, I did not say that you were too young to know. I said you were too young to be taken into my confidence. You're very bright children, all of you. But I'm glad for your sakes that you're still very inexperienced and consequently very unsympathetic. There are some experiences of mine that I cannot bear to speak of except to those who have gone through what I have gone through. I hope you will never be qualified for such confidences. But I will take care that you shall learn all you want to know. Will that satisfy you?
Another grievance, Dolly.
We're not sympathetic. Mother, I did not mean to be unsympathetic.
Of course not, dear. Do you think I don't understand?
But, Mother...
Yes?
It is nonsense to tell us that our father is nothing to us.
Do you remember your father?
I'm not quite sure. I think so.
You are not sure?
No.
Gloria, if I had ever struck you purposely, deliberately, with the intention of hurting you with a whip bought for the purpose, would you remember that, do you think?
Oh, Mother.
That would have been your last recollection of your father, Gloria, if I had not taken you away from him. I've kept him out of your life. Keep him now out of mind by never mentioning him to me again.
I hope I've not kept you waiting. That landlord of mine is really an extraordinary old character. He doesn't want his rent at all. He's broken his tooth on a Brazil nut and he wants me to look at it and to lunch with him afterwards.
Then have him up and pull his tooth out at once and we'll bring him to lunch too. Tell the maid to fetch him along.
I suppose he's respectable. Really respectable?
Perfectly. Not like me.
Honest Injun.
Honest Injun.
Then off with you and bring him up.
Well, I dare say he'd be delighted if...
I should be happy to see your friend at lunch if you can persuade him to come. But I can't wait to see him now. I have an appointment at the hotel at 12:45 with an old friend whom I've not seen since I left England 18 years ago. Will you excuse me?
Certainly, Mrs. Clandon. I will see you to the front door.
Shall I come?
No, dear. I want to be alone. Thank you, Mr. Valentine.
Aha.
You rang, sir?
Show the old gentleman up.
Madam?
The old gentleman with the toothache.
The landlord.
Mr. Crampton, sir.
Is his name Crampton?
Show Mr. Crampton's up.
Mr. Crampton, miss.
Crampton. I must get that name right, or heaven knows what I shall call him.
But hark, he comes.
Ooh, and Chalkstone.
Shh, attention. If he's good enough for the lunch, Gloria, I'll nod to Dolly. And if she nods to you, invite him straight away.
May I introduce you? This is Mr. Crampton, Miss Dorothy Clandon, Mr. Philip Clandon, Mrs. Clandon. Sit down, Mr. Crampton.
That is the most comfortable chair, Mr. Crampton.
Thank you. But won't this young lady...
Thank you, Mr. Crampton. We are just going.
Oh, sit down. You're tired.
Well, perhaps as I am considerably the oldest person present, I...
Mr. Crampton, we understand that we are preventing Mr. Valentine from lunching with you by taking him away ourselves. My mother would be very glad indeed if you would come too.
Thank you. I will come with pleasure.
How old are you, Mr. Crampton?
I am afraid we must be going, Mr. Valentine. It is understood, then, that we meet at 1:30.
Half past one. Allow me to see you to the door. Are you coming too, Mr. Clandon?
Yes, I will. Dolly?
In a minute. Make him give you gas. It's 5 shillings extra, but it's worth it.
Very well. See, you want to know my age, do you? I'm 57.
You look it.
Yes, I do.
What are you looking at me so hard for? Anything wrong?
Is it my hat?
You're like somebody.
Who?
Well, you have a curious look of my mother.
Your mother? You're quite sure you don't mean your daughter?
Yes, I'm quite sure I don't mean my daughter.
Oh, tooth bad.
No, no, nothing. Twinge of memory, Miss Clandon, not a toothache.
Have it out. Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow with gas 5 shillings extra.
No, not a sorrow. An injury that was done me once, that's all. I don't forget injuries. I don't want to forget them.
I don't think we shall like you when you're brooding over your injuries.
Dolly, my sister means well, Mr. Crampton, but she's indiscreet. Now, Dolly, outside.
He says he's only 57 and he thinks me the image of his mother and he hates his daughter.
Miss Clampton has gone on.
And don't forget, 1:30.
Now, mind you leave Mr. Crampton enough cheese to eat with.
That's a spoiled child, Mr. Valentine. That's one of your modern products. When I was her age, I had many a good hiding fresh in my memory to teach me manners.
What did you think of her sister?
You liked her better, eh?
Oh, she struck me as being... However, that's not business. Open, please. Oh, you have broken that one. What a pity to spoil such a splendid set of teeth. Why do you crack nuts with them?
I've always cracked nuts with them. What else are they for? The proper way to keep teeth good is to give them plenty of use on bones and nuts and wash them every day with soap. Plain yellow soap.
Soap? Why soap?
I began using it as a boy because I was made to. I've used it ever since. I never had toothache in my life.
Well, your teeth are good, I admit, but I've seen just as good in very self-indulgent mouths.
Well, it's not the effect on the teeth, it's the effect on the character.
Oh, the character, I see. A little wider, please. That one will have to come out. It's fast saving. Don't be alarmed. You shan't feel anything. I'll give you gas.
Rubbish, man. I want none of your gas. Out with it. People were taught to bear necessary pain in my day.
Oh, if you like being hurt, all right. I'll hurt you as much as you like without any extra charge for the beneficial effect on your character.
Young man, you owe me 6 weeks' rent.
I do.
Can you pay me?
No.
I thought not. How soon do you think you'll be able to pay me if you have no better manners than to make game of your patients?
No, my good sir, my patients haven't all formed their characters on kitchen soap.
So much the worse for them. I tell you, you don't understand my character. If I could spare all my teeth, I'd make you pull them out one after another to show you what a properly hardened man can go through with when he's made up his mind to it.
And you want to be more hardened, do you?
Yes.
Why did you never get married, Mr. Crampton? A wife and children would have taken some of the hardness out of you.
What the devil is that to you?
Well, I have an idea of getting married myself.
Naturally, sir. Naturally, when a young man has come to his last farthing and is within 24 hours of having his furniture distrained upon by his landlord, he marries. I've noticed that before. Well, marry and be miserable.
Oh, come, what do you know about it?
I'm not a bachelor.
Then there is a Mrs. Crampton.
Yes, damn her.
A father, too, perhaps, as well as a husband, Mr. Crampton.
3 children.
Damn them, eh?
No, sir. The children are as much mine as hers.
I should really like to know your family, Mr. Crampton.
Sorry I can't introduce you. I'm happy to say that I don't know where they are and don't care, so long as they keep out of my way. What's that cylinder thing for?
Oh, never mind. It's something to put my foot on to get the necessary purchase for a good pool. And so you advise me not to get married, Mr. Crampton?
I advise you to get my tooth out and have done reminding me of my wife. Come along, man.
What do you bet that I don't get that tooth out without your feeling it?
Your 6 weeks' rent, young man. Don't you gammon me.
Done. Are you ready?
Look, take care, man. I'm quite helpless in this position.
You'll be more helpless presently.
Waiter.
Sir.
Are you quite sure Mrs. Clandon is coming back before lunch?
Quite sure, sir. She expects you at 1:45, sir. Not that yet, sir, is it? 12:43, sir. Only 2 minutes more to wait, sir. Nice morning, sir.
Yes. Very fresh after London.
Yes, sir. So all our visitors say, sir.
We shall have 2 more gentlemen to lunch, William.
Right, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Are you Finch McComas?
Can't you guess?
I believe you are. Where's your beard?
Would you employ a solicitor with a beard?
Is that silk hat yours?
Would you employ a solicitor with a sombrero?
Oh, I've thought of you all these 18 years with the beard and the sombrero.
Do you go to the meetings of the Dialectical Society still?
I do not frequent meetings now.
Finch, I see what has happened. You have become respectable.
Haven't you?
Not a bit.
You hold to your old opinions still?
As firmly as ever.
Bless me. Why have you made me come down here?
Well, partly because I wanted to see you.
Oh, thanks.
And partly because I want you to explain everything to the children. They know nothing. And now that we've come back to England, it is impossible to leave them in ignorance any longer. Mm. Finch, I cannot bring myself to tell them.
It's all right, Mama. The dentist is coming and he's bringing his old man.
Dolly, dear, don't you see Mr. McComas?
This? But where are the flowing locks?
Where's the beard? The cloak? The poetic exterior?
Oh, Mr. McComas, you've gone and spoiled yourself. Why didn't you wait till we'd seen you?
Because 18 years is too long for a solicitor to go without having his hair cut.
How do you do, Mr. McComas? We are glad to meet you at last.
Miss Gloria, I presume. And this young gentleman is Master Philip.
Well, I was Master Philip. I was there for many years. Just as you were once Master Finch. How strange it is to look back on our boyhood.
Has Finch had a drink?
Really?
Dearest, Mr. McComas will lunch with us.
Have you ordered for 7? Don't forget the old gentleman.
I have not forgotten him, dear. What is his name?
Chalkstones. He'll be here at 1:30. Are we like what you expected, Mr. McComas?
Dolly, Mr. McComas has something more serious than that to tell you. Children, I have asked my old friend to answer the question you asked me this morning. He is your father's friend as well as mine, and he will tell you the story of my married life more fairly than I could. Gloria, are you satisfied?
Mr. McComas is very kind.
Oh, not at all, my dear young lady, not at all. At the same time, this is rather sudden. I was hardly prepared.
Oh, we don't want anything prepared.
Tell us the truth.
Bald-headed.
I hope you intend to take what I have to say seriously.
Well, I hope it will deserve it, Mr. McComas. My knowledge of human nature teaches me not to expect too much.
Phil.
Yes, Mother. All right. I beg your pardon, Mr. McComas. Don't mind us.
We mean well.
Shut up, both.
Now, your father...
How old is he?
Dear Dolly, don't let us interrupt Mr. McComas.
Thank you, Mrs. Clandon. Thank you. Your father is 57.
57? Where does he live, Dolly? Dolly.
Let me answer that, Mrs. Clandon. The answer will surprise you considerably. He lives in this town.
I knew it. Phil, Chalkstones is our father.
Chalkstones?
Oh, Crampstones or whatever it is. He said I was like his mother. I knew him as mean his daughter.
Mr. McComas, I desire to consider your feelings in every possible way, but I warn you that if you stretch the long arm of coincidence to the length of telling me that Mr. Crampton in this town is my father, I shall decline to entertain the information for a moment.
And pray why?
Because I've seen this gentleman. And he's entirely unfit to be my father, or Dolly's father, or Gloria's father, or my mother's husband.
Oh, indeed. Well, sir, let me tell you that whether you like it or not, he is your father, and your sister's father, and Mrs. Clandon's husband. Now, what have you to say to that?
Well, you needn't be so cross. Crampton isn't your father.
Mr. McComas, your conduct is heartless. Here you find a family enjoying the unspeakable peace and freedom of being orphans. We have never seen the face of a relative, never known a claim except the claim of freely chosen friendship. And now, you wish to thrust into the most intimate relationship with us a man whom we don't know.
An awful old man. And you began as if you had quite a nice father for us.
And how do you know that he's not nice? And what right have you to choose your own father? Let me tell you, Miss Clandon, that you're too young to...
Stop! I forgot. Has he any money?
Oh, he has a great deal of money.
Oh, what did I always say, Phil?
Dolly, we have, perhaps, been condemning the old man too hastily. Proceed, Mr. McComas.
I shall not proceed, sir. I'm too hurt. Too shocked to proceed.
Finch, do you realize what is happening? Do you understand that my children have invited that man to lunch? What? And that he will be here in a few moments?
What? Do you mean... Am I to understand? Is it...
Steady, Finch. I think it out slowly and carefully.
Oh.
He's coming to lunch.
Which of us is to tell him the truth? Have you thought of that?
Finch, you must tell him.
Oh, Finch is no good at telling things. Look at the mess he's made telling us.
I've not been allowed to speak. I protest against this.
Oh, dear Finch, never be cross.
Gloria, let us go in. He may arrive at any moment.
Do not stare, Mother. I shall not stare. We must not run away.
My dear, we cannot sit down to lunch just as we are. We shall come back again. We must have no bravado. Come, Gloria.
Gentlemen, come yet, ma'am.
Two more to come still, thank you. They will be here immediately.
I have an idea. Now, Mr. McComas, this communication should be made, should it not, by a man of infinite tact.
Well, it will require tact, certainly.
Now, Dolly, whose tact were you noticing only this morning?
Oh, yes, I declare. William.
The very man.
William! Coming, sir.
The waiter. Stop. I will not permit this.
Yes, sir. Now, William, you remember my request to you to regard me as your son?
Yes, sir. Anything you please, sir.
Now, William, at the very outset of your career as my father, a rival has appeared on the scene.
Your real father, sir? Well, that was to be expected sooner or later, sir, wasn't it? Is it you, sir?
Certainly not. My children know how to behave themselves.
Oh, no, William. This gentleman was very nearly my father. He wooed my mother, but wooed her in vain.
Well, of all this...
Consequently, he's only our solicitor. Do you know one Crampton of this town?
Cock-eyed Crampton, sir, of the Crooked Billet, is it?
I don't know. Finch, does he keep a public house?
No. Your father, sir, is a well-known yacht builder. An eminent man here.
Oh, beg pardon, sir, I'm sure. Son of Mr. Crampton. Hear me.
Mr. Crampton is coming to lunch with us.
Yes, sir. Don't usually lunch with this family, perhaps, sir?
William, he does not know that we are his family. He's not seen us for 18 years. He won't know us.
We want you to break the news to him, William.
But I should think he'd guess when he sees your mother, miss.
I never thought of that.
Nor I. Nor you, Finch.
And you were solicitor.
Finch, your professional incompetence is appalling. William, your sagacity puts us all to shame.
You really are like Shakespeare, William. Oh,
not at all, sir. Don't mention it, miss. Most happy, aren't you, sir?
Finch, come and wash your hands.
I'm thoroughly vexed and hurt, Mr. Clandon.
Ah, you'll get used to us. Come, Dolly.
And keep your wits about you, William. Oh. There will be fireworks.
They're right, miss. You may depend upon me, miss.
Steps made me giddy. Not got over that infernal gas yet.
Waiter.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Lanfrey Clandon.
Yes, sir. We're expecting you, sir. That is your table, sir. Mrs. Clandon will be down presently, sir. The young lady and gentleman were just talking about your friend, sir.
Indeed?
Yes, sir. Great flow of spirits, sir. A vein of pleasantry, as you might say, sir. The young gentleman's latest is that you're his father, sir.
What?
Only his joke, sir. His favourite joke. Yesterday, I was to be his father. Today, as soon as he knew you were coming, sir, he tried to put it up on me that you were his father, his long-lost father. Not seen you for 18 years, he said.
18 years?
Yes, sir. But I was up to his trick, sir. I saw the idea coming into his head as he stood there, thinking what new joke he'd have with me. Yes, sir. That's the sort he is. Very pleasant, very offhand and affable indeed, sir. Even the solicitor took up the joke. Yes, sir, I assure you, sir. You would never imagine what respectable professional gentlemen from London will do on an outing when the sea air takes them, sir.
Oh, there's a solicitor with them, is there?
The family solicitor, sir. Yes, sir. Name of McComas, sir.
McComas? Valentine! Valentine, this is a plot, a conspiracy. This is my family. My children. My infernal wife.
Oh, indeed. Interesting meeting.
Meeting? Not for me. Let me out of this. Give me that coat.
Yes, sir. I seem to have done the young gentleman injustice. I have...
Ah, Valentine, you're in this. You made this plot. You
marsh.
What do you mean? How dare you...
Steady, sir. Here they come, sir.
So here you are, Mr. Crampton.
Yes, here. Caught in a trap. A mean trap. Are those my children?
Is this our father, Mr. McComas?
Yes,
Pleased to meet you again.
Allow me to discharge my first duty as host by ordering your wine. Finch, some crusted old port for you as a respectable family solicitor.
Polinaris only. I prefer to take nothing heaty.
Valentine?
Would lager be considered vulgar?
Probably. We'll order some. Dolly takes it. And now, Mr. Crampton, what can we do for you?
What do you mean, boy?
Boy? Whose fault is it that I'm a boy?
The whiskey's on the last page but one, Mr. Crampton.
Let me alone, child.
Child? No, no. You may call me Dolly if you like, but you mustn't call me child.
McComas, we're going to have a pleasant meal.
Ah, Mother and our sister Gloria.
Glad to see you again, Mr. Valentine.
Miss Clandon.
Fergus.
You are greatly changed.
I dare say. Man does change in 18 years.
I did not mean that. I hope your health is good.
Thank you. No, it's not my health. It's my happiness that's the change you meant, I think. Look at her, McComas. Look at her. And look at me.
Order before, William.
I think you have all met one another already today. Oh, no, excuse me, Mr. Valentine, Mr. McComas.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Fergus, will you take the head of the table, please?
The head of the table.
This end, sir. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Valentine, will you take that side with Gloria?
Thank you.
Finch, I must put you on this side between Dolly and Phil. You must protect yourself as best you can.
Thank you.
Thick or clear, sir?
Does nobody ask a blessing in this household?
Let us first settle what we're about to receive. William?
Yes, sir. Two small lagers for the children, as usual, William. And one large for this gentleman. A large Apollinaris for Mr. McComas.
Yes, sir.
Have a six of Irish in it, Finch.
No, thank you.
Number 413 for my mother and Miss Gloria, as before. And,
All right, sir. We know what Mr. Crampton likes here, sir.
Oh, you frequent bars. Bad habit.
You've learnt your lesson from your mother, I see.
Phil, will you please remember that your jokes are apt to irritate people who are not accustomed to us, and that your father is our guest today.
Yes, a guest at the head of my own table.
Yes, it's embarrassing, isn't it? It's just as bad for us, you know.
Shh, Dolly. We are both wanting in tact. We mean well, Mr. Crampton, but we're not yet strong in the filial line. William, come and restore good feeling.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
Small lager for you, sir. Seltzer and Irish, sir. Apollinaris, sir. Small lager, miss. 413, madam. Large lager for you, sir. 413, miss.
To the family.
Half and home.
Well, we're getting on very nicely after all.
After all? After all what, Finch?
She means that you're getting on very nicely in spite of the presence of your father. Do I take your point rightly, McComas?
No, I only said after all to round off the sentence.
Turbot, sir. Oh,
thank you, waiter. Thank you.
Don't mention it, sir.
Have you thought of choosing a profession yet?
Well, I'm keeping my mind open on that subject. William.
Yes, sir.
How long do you think it would take me to learn to be a really smart waiter?
Can't be learned, sir. It's in the character, sir. Bread for the lady, sir.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Very few are born to it, sir.
Now, you don't happen to have such a thing as a son yourself, have you?
Yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir.
Is your son a waiter too, William?
Oh, no, miss. He's too impetuous. He's at the bar.
Or a putman, eh?
No, sir. The other bar. Your profession, sir. A QC, sir.
Well, I'm sure I beg your pardon.
Not at all, sir. Very natural mistake, I'm sure, sir. I've often wished he was a putman, sir. Would have been off my hands ever so much sooner, sir. Salt at your elbow, sir. Yes, sir. Had to support him till he was 37, sir. But doing well now, sir. Very satisfactory indeed, sir. Nothing less than 50 guineas, sir.
Democracy, Crampton. Modern democracy.
No, sir. Not democracy. Only education, sir. Scholarship, sir. Cambridge local, sir. Sydney Sussex College, sir. Very good thing for him, sir. He never had any turn for real work, sir. Stone ginger, miss. Right, miss.
Which of us dare give that man an order again?
I hope he won't mind my sending him for ginger beer.
Well, he's a waiter. It's his business to wait. If you treated him as a waiter ought to be treated, he'd have held his tongue.
And what a loss that would have been. Perhaps he'll give us an introduction to his son and get us into London society.
London society? You're not fit for any society, child.
Now, look here, Mr. Crampton, if you think...
Stone ginger, miss.
Thank you, dear William. You were just in time.
Cheese, sir. Would you like a cold sweet?
What? Oh, cheese.
Bring a box of cigarettes, William.
All ready, miss.
Does she smoke?
Really, Mr. Crampton? I'm afraid I'm spoiling your lunch. I've got to have my cigarette on the beach.
Margaret, call that girl back. Call her back, I say.
Oh, come, Crampton, never mind. She's her father's daughter, that's all.
I hope not, Finch. Mr. Valentine, will you excuse me? I'm afraid Dolly is hurt and put out by what has passed. I must go to her.
To take her part against me, you mean?
Gloria, will you take my place while I'm away, dear?
Yes,
Mother. Young lady forgot the matches, ma'am, if you will be so good, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
There's a mother for you, McComas. There's a mother for you.
Yes, a good mother.
And a bad father. That's what you mean, eh?
Miss Clandon.
Girl's name is Crampton, Mr. Valentine, not Clandon. Do you wish to join them in insulting me?
I'm overwhelmed, Miss Clandon. It's all my fault. I brought him here. I am responsible for him. And I'm ashamed of him.
What do you mean?
No harm has been done, Mr. Valentine. We have all been a little childish, I'm afraid. Our party has been a failure. Let us break it up and have done with it. Goodbye, Father.
Father. Father! No!
This coat is yours, sir, I think so. The lady's sunshade, sir. Nasty glare off the sea today, sir. Very trying to the complexion, sir. I shall carry down the camp stools myself, sir.
You are old, Father William, but you are the most considerate of men. No. Keep the sunshades and give me the camp stools.
Thank you, sir.
Finch, share with me. Come along.
Oh, all right, all right.
Leave me something to bring down. One of these sunshades, perhaps.
Oh, that's the younger lady, sir.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. If you'll allow me, sir, I think you had better have this. The elder young lady is reading it at present. Thank you, sir. Schopenhauer, sir, you see. A very interesting author, sir. Especially on the subject of ladies, sir.
Now, look here, Crampton. Are you at all ashamed of yourself?
Ashamed of myself? What for?
For behaving like a bear. What will your daughter think of me for having brought you here?
I was not thinking of what my daughter was thinking of you.
No, you were thinking of yourself. You're a perfect egomaniac.
She told you what I am. A father. A father robbed of his children. What are the hearts of this generation like? Am I to come here after all these years to see what my children are for the first time, to hear their voices and carry it all off like a fashionable visitor? Drop in to lunch, be Mr. Crampton? Mr. Crampton! What right have they to talk to me like that? I'm their father. Do they deny that? I'm a man with the feelings of our common humanity. Have I no rights, no claims? In all these years, who have I had round me? Servants, clerks, business acquaintances. I've had respect from them. Aye, kindness. Would one of them have spoken to me as that girl spoke? Would one of them have laughed at me as that boy was laughing at me all the time? My own children! Mr. Crampton, my...
Come, come, they're only children. The only one of them that's worth anything called you father.
Yes, goodbye, father. Goodbye. Oh, yes, she got at my feelings with a stab.
Now, look here, Crampton. You just let her alone. She's treated you very well. I had a much worse time of it at lunch than you.
You?
Yes, I. I sat next to her, and I never said a single thing to her the whole time. I couldn't think of a blessed word. And not a word did she say to me.
Well?
Well? Well? Crampton, do you know what's been the matter with me today? You don't suppose, do you, that I'm in the habit of playing such tricks on my patients as I played on you?
I hope not.
The explanation is that I'm stark mad. Or rather, that I've never been in any real sense in my own senses before. I'm capable of anything. I've grown up at last. I'm a man. And it's your daughter, Gloria Clandon, that's made a man of me.
Are you in love with my daughter?
Love? Nonsense. It's something far above and beyond that. It's life, it's faith, it's strength, certainty, paradise.
Rubbish, man. What have you got to keep a wife on? You can't marry her.
Who wants to marry her? I'll kiss her hands, I'll kneel at her feet, I'll live for her, I'll die for her, and that'll be enough for me. Look at her book, see? If you offered me all your money for this excuse for going down to the beach and speaking to her again, I'd only laugh at you.
Oh!
Steady, sir. Steady.
I beg your pardon.
Not at all, sir. Not at all. Very natural, sir. I'm sure, sir, at your age. The lady has sent me for her book, sir. Might I take the liberty of asking you to let her have it at once?
With pleasure. And if you will allow me to present you with a professional man's earnings for 6 weeks...
Thank you, sir. Much obliged.
Miss Clandon! Miss Clandon!
How could that man have so beautiful a daughter?
That seems to be an attempt at what is called a pretty speech. Let me say at once, Mr. Valentine, that pretty speeches make very sickly conversation. Pray let us be friends, if we are to be friends, in a sensible and wholesome way. I have no intention of getting married, and unless you are content to accept that state of things, we had much better not cultivate each other's acquaintance.
You are strong. Do you know that you changed the world for me this morning? I was in the dumps, thinking of my unpaid rent, frightened about the future. When you came in, I was dazzled. Well, that was silly, of course, but really and truly something happened to me. Explain it how you will. My blood got oxygenated. My muscles braced. My mind cleared. My courage rose. That's odd, isn't it, considering that I'm not at all a sentimental man.
Let us go back to the terrace.
Oh, Miss Clandon, how could you?
What have I done?
Thrown this enchantment on me. I'm honestly trying to be sensible, scientific, everything that you wish me to be, but oh, don't you see what you've set to work in my imagination?
I hope you are not going to be so foolish, so vulgar as to say love.
No, not love. We know better than that. Let's call it chemistry. You can't deny there is such a thing as chemical action, chemical affinity, chemical combination, the most irresistible of all natural forces. Well, you are attracting me irresistibly, chemically.
Nonsense.
Of course it's nonsense, you stupid girl. Yes, stupid girl. That's a scientific fact, anyhow. You're a prig. A feminine prig, that's what you are. And now I suppose you've done with me forever.
Well, that shows how very little you understand my real character. I am not in the least offended. I am always willing to be told my own defects, Mr. Valentine, by my friends, even when they are as absurdly mistaken about me as you are. I have many faults, very serious faults of character and temper. But if there is one thing that I am not, it is what you call a prig.
Oh, yes, you are. My reason tells me so. My knowledge tells me so. My experience tells me so.
Excuse my reminding you that your reason and your knowledge and your experience are not infallible. At least I hope not.
I must believe them. Unless you wish me to believe my eyes, my heart, my instincts, my imagination, which are all telling me the most monstrous lies about you.
Lies?
Yes, lies. Do you expect me to believe that you are the most beautiful woman in the world?
That is ridiculous and rather personal.
Of course it's ridiculous. But that's what my eyes tell me. No, I am not flattering. I tell you, I don't believe it. Do you think that if you were to turn away in disgust from my weakness, I should sit down here and cry like a child?
Why should you pray?
But of course not. I'm not such an idiot. And yet my heart tells me I should, my fool of a heart. But I'll argue with my heart and bring it to reason. If I loved you 1,000 times, I'll force myself to look the truth steadily in the face. After all, it's easy to be sensible. The facts are the facts. What's this place? It's not heaven. It's the Marine Hotel. What's the time? It's not eternity. It's about 1:30 in the afternoon. What am I? A dentist. A 5-shilling dentist.
And I am a feminine prig.
No, I can't face that. I must have one illusion left. The illusion about you. I love you.
Please.
No, what a fool I am. An idiot. You don't understand. I might as well talk to the stones on the beach.
I'm sorry. I do not mean to be unsympathetic, Mr. Valentine. But what can I say?
You can say nothing, Miss Clandon. I beg your pardon. It was my own fault, or rather my own bad luck. You see, it all depended on your naturally liking me. Oh,
but
I know you mustn't tell me whether you like me or not, but...
Must not? Why not? I am a free woman. Why should I not tell you?
Don't. I'm afraid to hear...
You need not be afraid. I think you are sentimental and a little foolish. But I like you.
Then it's all over.
But why?
Oh, don't pity me. Your voice is tearing my heart to pieces. Let me alone, Gloria. You go down into the very depths of me, troubling and staring me. I can't struggle with it. I can't tell you.
Oh, stop telling me what you feel. I can't bear it.
Ah. It's come at last, my moment of courage. Ah, moment of courage. Now you've done it, Gloria. It's all over. We're in love with one another. But what a dragon you were, and how hideously afraid I was.
Valentine! Valentine!
Goodbye. Forgive me.
The children want you, Mr. Valentine. Why are you running off?
Mother, what is it, dear?
Why didn't you educate me properly?
Child, I did my best.
Oh, you taught me nothing. Nothing.
What is the matter with you?
Only shame. Shame. Shame.
Tea was what you rang for, Mom, I hope.
Thank you, yes.
I thought so, Mom. Curious how the nerves seem to give out in the afternoon without a cup of tea. The young lady and gentleman have just come back, Mom. They have been out in a boat, Mom. Mr. McComas will not come to tea, ma'am. He has gone to call upon Mr. Crampton.
And the other gentleman?
Oh, he's coming, miss. He's coming. He has been rowing in the boat, miss, and has just run down the road to the chemist for something to put on the blisters. But he will be here directly, miss. Directly.
Glory, where are you going?
I think you must excuse me, Mother.
Anything more,
ma'am? Nothing, thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Here is Mr. Philip and Miss Dolly, ma'am.
Oh, well, give me some tea. We've been out in a boat. Valentine will be here presently.
He's unaccustomed to navigation. Where's Gloria?
Phil, there's something the matter with Gloria. Has anything happened?
Romeo.
And Juliet.
Yes, yes, my dear mother, the old, old story. Dolly, don't take all the milk. Yes, in the spring.
A young man's fancy.
Lightly turns to, thank you, thoughts of love. It also occurs in the autumn. The young man in this case is...
Valentine.
And his fancy has turned to Gloria. To the extent of...
Kissing her.
On the beach.
On the lips. Before everybody.
Phil, Dolly, are you joking?
Did she allow it?
We waited to see him struck to earth by the lightning of her scorn.
But he wasn't.
She appeared to like it.
As far as we could judge. No, you've sworn off, Tuca.
Children, you must not be here when Mr. Valentine comes. I must speak very seriously to him about this.
To ask him his intentions. Oh, what a violation of 20th century principles.
Quite right, Mama. Bring him to book. Make the most of the 19th century while it lasts.
Shh, here he is.
Very sorry to be late for tea, Mrs. Clandon.
Will you...
No, thank you. I never take any. No doubt Miss Dolly and Phil have explained what happened to me.
Yes, Valentine, we've explained.
We have explained very thoroughly.
It was our duty. Come, Dolly.
Will you sit down, Mr. Valentine?
Thank you.
I want to speak to you a little, if you will allow me. I must begin by throwing myself somewhat on your consideration. I'm going to speak of a subject of which I know very little, perhaps nothing. I mean love.
Love?
Yes, love. Oh, you need not look so alarmed at that, Mr. Valentine. I am not in love with you.
Oh, really, Mrs... I should be only too proud if you were.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Valentine, but I'm too old to begin.
Begin? Have you never?
Never. My case is a very common one, Mr. Valentine. I married before I was old enough to know what I was doing. As you've seen for yourself, the result was a bitter disappointment for both my husband and myself. So you see, though I'm a married woman, I've never been in love. I've never had a love affair. And to be quite frank with you, Mr. Valentine, what I've seen of the love affairs of other people has not led me to regret that deficiency in my experience.
Well, what are you driving at, Mrs. Clandon?
I think you know.
Gloria?
Yes, Gloria.
Well, yes, I'm in love with Gloria. I know what you're going to say. I've no money.
I care very little about money, Mr. Valentine.
Then you're very different to all the other mothers who've interviewed me.
Ah, now we're coming to it, Mr. Valentine. You are an old hand at this.
Oh, no, really?
Do you think, little as I understand these matters, that I have not common sense enough to know that a man who could make as much way in one interview with such a woman as my daughter can hardly be a novice?
No, I assure you...
I'm not blaming you, Mr. Valentine. It is Gloria's business to take care of herself, and you have a right to amuse yourself as you please.
Amuse myself? Oh, Mrs. Clapton.
On your honor, Mr. Valentine, are you in earnest?
On my honor, I am in earnest.
Are you?
Only I always have been in earnest. And yet here I am, you see.
This is just what I suspected. Mr. Valentine, you are one of those men who play with women's affections.
Well, why not, if the cause of humanity is the only thing worth being serious about? However, I understand. You wish me to discontinue my visits.
No. I'm sensible enough to be well aware that Gloria's best chance of escape from you now is to become better acquainted with you.
Oh, don't say that, Mrs. Clandon. You don't think that, do you?
I have great faith, Mr. Valentine, in the sound training Gloria's mind has had since she was a child.
Oh, that's all right.
What do you mean?
Come, shall I teach you something, Mrs. Clandon?
I'm always willing to learn.
You've heard of the duel of sex, haven't you? Oh, I forgot to repeat in Madeira. The expression has come up since your time. Need I explain it?
No.
Of course not. Now, what happens in the duel of sex? The old-fashioned daughter received an old-fashioned education to protect her against the wiles of man. Well, you know the result. The old-fashioned man got round her. The old-fashioned woman resolved to protect her daughter more effectually, to find some armor too strong for the old-fashioned man. So she gave her daughter a scientific education. Your plan... Ah, that was a corker for the old-fashioned man. He said it wasn't fair, unwomanly, and all the rest of it. But that didn't do him any good. So he had to give up his old-fashioned plan of attack. You know, going down on his knees and swearing to love, honor, and obey, and so on.
Excuse me. That was what the woman swore.
Was it? Oh, perhaps you're right. Yes, of course it was. Well, what did the man do? He went one better than the woman, educated himself scientifically, and beat her at that game just as he'd beaten her at the old game. I learned how to circumvent the women's rights woman before I was 23. It's all been found out long ago. You see, my methods are thoroughly modern.
No doubt.
But for that very reason, there is one sort of girl against whom they are of no use.
Pray, which sort?
The thoroughly old-fashioned girl. If you had brought up Gloria in the old way, it would have taken me 18 months to get to the point I got to this afternoon in 18 minutes. Yes, Mrs. Clandon, the higher education of women delivered Gloria into my hands. And it was you who taught her to believe in the higher education of women.
Mr. Valentine, you are very clever.
Oh, Mrs. Clandon.
And you have taught me nothing. Goodbye.
Mother, is what Dolly told me true?
What did she tell you, dear?
That you have been speaking about me to this gentleman.
This gentleman, oh?
Mr. Valentine, can you hold your tongue for a moment?
Mother, what right had you to do it?
I don't think I've said anything I have no right to say, Gloria.
Nothing. Nothing whatever. I beg your pardon.
Mr. Valentine, you are a most dangerous man. Gloria, come here. Ask this man whom you have inspired and made brave how many women have inspired him before. How many times he has laid the trap in which he has caught you. How much practice it has taken to make him perfect in his chosen part in life as the duelist of sex.
This isn't fair. You're abusing my confidence, Mrs. Clapton.
Ask him, Gloria. Is that true?
Oh, don't be angry. I only...
Is it true? Did you ever say that before? Did you ever feel that before for another woman?
Yes.
Oh!
Remember, a man's power of love and admiration is like any other of his powers. He has to throw it away many times before he learns what is really worthy of it.
Another of the old speeches, Gloria, take care.
Oh.
Do you think I need to be warned now? You have tried to make me love you.
I have.
Well, you have succeeded in making me hate you passionately.
It's surprising how little difference there is between the two. I know men whose wives love them, and they're gone exactly like that.
Mr. McComas, ma'am.
Oh, certainly. Bring him in.
He wishes to see you in the reception room, ma'am.
Why not here?
Well, if you will forgive my mentioning it, ma'am, I think Mr. McComas feels that he would get fairer play if he could speak to you away from the younger members of your family, ma'am.
Tell him they are not here.
They are within sight of the door, ma'am, and very watchful for some reason or other.
Oh, very well. I'll go to him.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, sir. Only the tea things, sir. Excuse me, sir. Thank you, sir.
Look here, you will forgive me sooner or later. Forgive me now.
Never. While grass grows or water runs. Never, never, never.
Well, I don't care. I can't be unhappy about anything. I shall never be unhappy again. Never, 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 while grass grows or water runs. The thought of you will always make me wild with joy.
How often have
you... No, I've never said that before. That's new.
It will not be new when you say it to the next woman.
Oh, don't, Gloria, don't. I kneel at your feet.
Get up! How dare you!
I beg your pardon. Come, Dolly.
Mother will be back in a moment, Phil. Please wait here for her.
Ah, indeed.
Aha.
Here comes the solicitor, looking very grave.
What cheer, Finch!
Very serious news from your father, Miss Clandon. Very serious news indeed.
Perhaps I had better go.
By no means, Mr. Valentine. You are deeply concerned in this. Mrs. Clandon, your husband demands the custody of his younger children who are not of age.
Oh, how nice of him. He likes us, Mama.
I am sorry to have to disabuse you of any such idea, Miss Dorothea.
Oh, Dorothea. Oh,
No.
Dearest Dolly, the deed of separation gives me the custody of the children.
It also contains a covenant that you are not to approach or molest him in any way.
Well, I've done so.
Whether the behavior of your younger children amounts to legal molestation is a question on which it may be necessary to take counsel's opinion. At all events, Mr. Crampton not only claims to have been molested, but he believes that he was brought here by a plot in which Mr. Valentine acted as your agent.
What's that, eh?
He alleges that you drugged him, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, so I did.
Oh. But what did you do that for?
5 shillings extra.
I must really ask you, Miss Clandon, not to interrupt this very serious conversation with irrelevant interjections. I insist on having earnest matters earnestly and reverently discussed. Miss Laurier, it is my duty to tell you that your father has also persuaded himself that Mr. Valentine wishes to marry you.
I do.
In that case, sir, you must not be surprised to find yourself regarded by the young lady's father as a fortune hunter.
So I am. Do you expect my wife to live on what I earn? 10 pence a week?
I have nothing more to say, sir. I shall return and tell Mr. Crampton that this family is no place for a father.
Finch! If Mr. Valentine cannot be serious, you can. Sit down.
Oh, well, I...
You know that all this is a made-up case. That Fergus doesn't believe in it any more than you do. Now, give me your real advice. Your sincere, friendly advice. You know I've always trusted your judgment. I promise you the children will be quiet.
Well, what I want to say is this. In the old arrangement with your husband, Mrs. Clandon, you had him at a terrible disadvantage. You were an advanced woman, accustomed to defy public opinion, and with no regard for what the world might say of you.
Yes, that is true.
On the other hand, Mrs. Clandon, your husband had a great horror of anything getting into the papers. There was his business to be considered, as well as the prejudices of an old-fashioned family.
Not to mention his own prejudices.
Now, no doubt he behaved badly, Mrs. Clandon.
I did not blame him. I simply rescued myself and the children from him.
Yes, but you made hard terms, Mrs. Clandon. You had him at your mercy. You brought him to his knees when you threatened to make the matter public by applying to the courts for a judicial separation. Suppose he'd had that power over you and used it to take your children away from you and bring them up in ignorance of your very name. How would you feel? What would you do? Well, won't you make some allowance for his feelings? In common humanity.
I never discovered his feelings. I discovered his temper and his... the rest of his common humanity.
Well, women can be very hard, Mrs. Clandon.
That's true.
Be silent.
Let me make one last appeal. Mrs. Clandon, believe me, there are men who have a good deal of feeling, and kind feeling too, which they are not able to express. What you miss in Crampton is that mere veneer of civilization, the art of showing worthless attentions and paying insincere compliments in a kindly, charming way. If you lived in London, where the whole system is one of false good fellowship, and you may know a man for 20 years without finding out that he hates you like poison, you'd soon have your eyes opened. There we do unkind things in a kind way. We say bitter things in a sweet voice. We always give our friends chloroform when we tear them to pieces. But think of the other side of it. Think of the people who do kind things in an unkind way. People whose touch hurts, whose voices jar, whose tempers play them false, who wound and worry the people they love in the very act of trying to conciliate them. And yet, who need affection as much as the rest of us. Oh, Crampton has an abominable temper, I admit. He has no manners, no tact, no grace. He'll never be able to gain anyone's affection unless they will take his desire for it on trust. Is he to have none? Not even pity from his own flesh and blood.
Oh, how beautiful, Finch. How nice of you.
Finch, this is eloquence. Positive eloquence.
Oh, Mama, let us give Chalkstones another chance. Let us have him to dinner. No, Dolly, I hardly got any lunch. My dear Finch, there is not the least use in talking to me about Fergus. You have never been married to him. I have.
Miss Gloria, I have hitherto refrained from appealing to you because if what Mr. Crampton told me be true, you have been more merciless even than your mother.
You appeal from her strength to my weakness.
Not your weakness, Miss Clandon. I appeal from her intellect to your heart.
I have learnt to mistrust my heart. I would tear my heart out and throw it away if I could. My answer to you is my mother's answer.
Well, I'm very sorry. Very sorry. I've done my best.
But what did you expect, Finch? What do you want us to do?
The first step for both you and Crampton is to obtain counsel's opinion as to whether he is bound by the deed of separation or not. Now, why not obtain this opinion at once and have a friendly meeting, or shall we say a neutral meeting, to settle the difficulty here in this hotel tonight? Now, what do you say?
But where is the counsel's opinion to come from?
It has dropped down on us out of the clouds. On my way back here from Crampton's, I met a most eminent QC, a man whom I briefed in the case that made his name for him. He has come down here from Saturday to Monday for the sea air and to visit a relative of his who lives here. He has been good enough to say that if I can arrange a meeting of the parties, he will come and help us with his opinion. Now, do let us seize this chance of a quiet, friendly family adjustment. Let me bring my friend here and try to persuade Crampton to come too. Come. Consent.
Finch, I don't want counsel's opinion because I intend to be guided by my own opinion. I don't want to meet Fergus again because I don't like him and don't believe the meeting will do any good. However, you have persuaded the children that he is not quite hopeless. Do as you please.
Thank you, Mrs. Clandon. Will 9 o'clock suit you?
Perfectly. Phil, will you ring, please? But if I am to be accused of conspiring with Mr. Valentine, I think he had better be present.
I quite agree with you. I think it's most important.
Well, there can be no objection to that, I think. I have the greatest hopes of a happy settlement. Goodbye for the present.
Allow me, sir. You rang, ma'am?
We expect some visitors at 9, William. Can we have dinner at 7 instead of 7:30?
7, ma'am. Certainly, ma'am. It will be a convenience to us this busy evening, ma'am. There will be the band and the arrangement of the fairy lights and one thing and another, ma'am.
The fairy lights?
The band? William, what mean you? The fancy ball, ma'am.
Fancy ball?
Oh, yes, sir. Given by the regatta committee for the benefit of the lifeboat, sir. We often have them, ma'am. Chinese lanterns in the garden, ma'am. Very bright and pleasant. Very gay and innocent indeed. Tickets downstairs at the office, 5 shillings. Ladies half price, if accompanied by a gentleman.
To the office, will you?
Quick, before they're all sold.
Where's McComas?
Gone out to leave us together. Delicacy on his part, I suppose. Well, father?
Well, daughter?
Shake hands.
What has happened to you, my child?
Oh, never mind. I'm my father's daughter. That's a come down, isn't it?
What you... Well, yes, my dear, I suppose it is. I suppose it is. I'm afraid I'm sometimes a little irritable, but I know what's right and reasonable all the time, even when I don't act on it. Can you believe that?
Believe it? Why, that's myself all over. I know what's right and dignified and strong and noble just as well as she does. But, oh, the things I do. The things I let other people do.
As well as she does. You mean your mother?
Yes, mother.
Why?
Now, listen. No treason to her. No word, no thought against her. She's our superior, yours and mine. High heavens above us. Is that agreed?
Yes, yes. Just as you please, my dear.
You don't like her?
My child, you haven't been married to her. I have. She did me a great wrong in marrying me without really caring for me. But after that, the wrong was all on my side, I dare say.
Take care. It's my dangerous subject. My feelings, my miserable, cowardly, womanly feelings may be on your side, but my conscience is on hers.
I'm very well content with that division, my dear. Thank you.
Excuse me, but it's impossible to find a servant to announce one. Even the never-failing William seems to be at the ball. I should have gone myself, only I haven't 5 shillings to buy a ticket. How are you getting on, Crampton? Better, eh?
I am myself again, Mr. Valentine. No thanks to you.
Look at this ungrateful parent of yours, Miss Clandon. I saved him from an excruciating pang, and he reviles me.
I am sorry my mother is not here to receive you, Mr. Valentine. It is not quite 9 o'clock, and the gentleman of whom Mr. McComas spoke, the lawyer, is not yet come.
Oh, yes, he is. I met him and talked to him. You'll like him, Miss Clandon. He's the very incarnation of intellect. You can hear his mind working.
Where is he?
Bought a false nose and gone to the fancy ball. I didn't like to borrow 5 shillings from him and go in with him, so I joined the mob and looked through the railings until Miss Clandon disappeared into the hotel through the window.
So it has come to this, that you follow me about in public to stare at me?
Yes. Somebody ought to chain me up.
I'm sorry to have kept you all waiting.
Beg pardon. But can you tell me what became of the gentleman with the false nose?
Yes.
Oh. Beg pardon, sir, I'm sure, sir. Was it you, sir?
It was I.
Yes, sir.
You with a false nose, Walter.
I beg your pardon, ma'am, I'm sure. A little giddiness.
You will excuse him, Mrs. Clandon, when I inform you that he is my father.
Oh, no. No, Walter. A waiter for your father on top of a false nose. What will they think of you?
I am delighted to hear it, Mr. Boone. Your father has been an excellent friend to us since we came here.
Oh, no, ma'am. It's very kind of you, very ladylike and affable indeed, ma'am. But I should feel at a great disadvantage off my own proper footing. Never mind my being the gentleman's father, ma'am. It is only the accident of birth after all, ma'am. You'll excuse me, I'm sure, having interrupted your business.
One moment. My father was a witness of what passed today, was he not, Mrs. Clandon?
Yes, most of it, I think.
In that case, we shall want him.
Sit down, won't you?
Oh, if you please, ma'am, I really must draw the line at sitting down. I couldn't let myself be seen doing such a thing, ma'am. Thank you, I'm sure, all the same.
William only wants to go on taking care of us. I should like a cup of coffee.
Coffee, miss? Certainly, miss. Thank you, miss. Very timely, miss. Very thoughtful and considerate indeed. Anything for you, ma'am?
Yes. It's so hot, I think we might have a jug of carrot cup.
Carrot cup, ma'am. Certainly, ma'am.
Oh, well, I'll have carrot cup instead of coffee. Put some cucumber in it.
Cucumber, miss. Yes, miss. Anything special for you, sir? You don't like cucumber, sir.
If Mrs. Clandon will allow me, siphon scotch.
Right, sir. Irish for you, sir, I think, sir.
Yeah.
I like cucumber.
Right, sir. carrot cup, siphon, one scotch, and one Irish.
I think that's right.
Right, ma'am. Directly, ma'am. Thank you.
Oh, we can begin now, I suppose.
We had better wait until Mrs. Clandon's husband arrives.
What do you mean? I'm her husband.
You said just now that your name was Crampton.
Sure it is.
One moment. Pray allow me. Sit down, everybody. In this family, it appears, the husband's name is Crampton, the wife's Clandon. Thus, we have on the very threshold of the case an element of confusion.
But it's perfectly simple.
Mrs. Clandon has adopted another name. That is the obvious explanation which you feared. I could not find out for myself. You mistrust my intelligence, Mr. Valentine. No, I don't want you to answer that. I want you to think over it when you feel your next impulse to interrupt me.
This is simply breaking a butterfly on a wheel. What does it matter?
I will tell you what it matters, sir. It matters that if that family difference is to be smoothed over, as we all hope it may be, Mrs. Clandon, as a matter of social convenience and decency, will have to resume her husband's name.
I think, Boone, we'd perhaps better dispose of the important questions first.
McComas, there will be no difficulty about the important questions. There never is. It is the trifles that will wreck you at the harbour mouth. You don't agree with me, eh?
If I did...
You did, you would be me instead of being what you are.
Well, of course, Boone, your speciality...
My speciality is being right when other people are wrong. If you agreed with me, I should be no use here. Now, you, Mr. Crampton, what point in this business have you most at heart?
I wish to put all consideration of self aside in this matter.
So do we all, Mr. Crampton. It's understood that self is put aside. Human nature always begins by saying that.
But I mean it, sir.
Quite so. Now for your point.
Every reasonable person would admit that it's an unselfish one. It's about the children.
Well, what do you object to in the present circumstances of the children?
I object to the way they've been brought up.
How do you propose to alter that now?
I think they ought to dress more quietly.
Nonsense. When you are done, Mr. Valentine, when you are quite done...
What's wrong with Miss Clandon's dress?
My opinion is as good as yours.
Father?
I didn't mean you, my dear. But the two younger ones... You've not seen them, Mr. Boone, and indeed, I think you would agree with me that there is something very noticeable, something almost gay and frivolous in their style of dressing.
Do you suppose I choose their clothes for them? Really, this is childish.
Childish?
Thank you.
Let us behave reasonably.
Ah. Irish for you, sir. Scotch and siphon for you, sir.
You.
And claret cup.
I'm afraid we interrupted you, Mr. Boone.
You did. Just wait a bit.
Yes, sir. Certainly, sir.
You don't mind our detaining you, I hope. Mr. Boone wishes it.
Oh, no, ma'am. Not at all, ma'am. It is a pleasure to me to watch the working of his trained and powerful mind. Very stimulating, very entertaining, and instructive indeed, ma'am.
And now, Mr. Crampton, we are waiting for you. Do you give up your objection to the dressing... Or do you stick to it?
Mr. Boone, consider my position for a moment. I haven't got myself alone to consider. There's my sister Sophronia and my brother-in-law and all their circle. They have a great horror of anything that is
Out with it. Fast, loud, gay?
Oh, not in any unprincipled sense, of course, but those two children shock them. They're not fit to mix with their own people. That's what I complain of.
Mr. Valentine, do you think there is anything fast or loud about Phil and Dolly?
Certainly not. It's utter bosh. Nothing could be in better taste.
Oh, yes, of course you say so.
William, you see a great deal of good English society. Are my children overdressed?
Oh, dear no, ma'am. Oh, no, sir, not at all. A little pretty and tasty, no doubt. But very choice and classy, very genteel and high-toned indeed. Might be the son and daughter of a dean, sir, I assure you, sir. You have only to look at them, sir.
Oh, lift me down, somebody. Oh, Phil, put me down. I'm going to fall. Oh, lift me down.
Oh, I'm not the child.
Oh, thanks. So nice of you. What's that? Oh, dear. Oh, here it comes.
This is the younger lady, is it?
Yes, sir. And please, who are you?
This is Mr. Boone, Dolly, who has very kindly come to help us this evening.
Oh, he comes as a boon and a blessing to
me. Mr. Boone, McComas, I appeal to you. Is this right? Would you blame my sister's family for objecting to it?
Have you begun again?
No. It's perhaps natural at your age.
Never mind my age. Is it pretty?
Yes.
But do you like it?
My child, how can you expect me to like it or to approve of it?
How can you think it pretty and not like it?
Really, I must say
no,
that...
No, don't interrupt, McComas. The young lady's method is right. Press your questions, Miss Clandon. Press your questions.
Oh, dear. You are a regular overwhelmer. Do you always go on like this?
Yes. Don't you try to put me out of countenance, young lady. You're too young to do it. Sit down. Huh. Now, Mr. Crampton, the facts are before you. Both of them. You think you'd like to have your two youngest children to live with you. Well, you wouldn't.
But I...
No, you wouldn't. You think you would, but I know better than you. You'd want this young lady here to give up dressing like a stage Columbine in the evening and like a fashionable Columbine in the morning. Well, she won't. Never. She thinks she will.
No, but... I won't. I'll never give up dressing prettily. Never. As Gloria said to that man in Madeira, never, 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 while grass grows or water runs.
What? What? When did she say that? Who did she say that
Mr.
to?
Mr. Valentine...
Don't you interrupt me, sir. This is something really serious. I insist on knowing who Miss Clandon said that to.
Oh, perhaps Phil remembers. Which was it, Phil? Number 3 or number 5?
Number 5?
Oh, courage, Valentine. It wasn't number 5. It was only a tame naval lieutenant that was always on hand, the most patient and harmless of mortals.
What are we discussing now, pray?
Excuse me. I'm sorry I interrupted. I shall intrude no further, Mrs. Clandon.
Please go on, Mr. Boone. You're going to bully us, Mr. Boone.
I'm...
Oh, yes, you are. You think you're not, but you are. I know, by your eyebrows.
Mrs. Clandon, these are clever children. Clear-headed, well-brought-up children. I make that admission deliberately. Can you, in return, point out to me any way of inducing them to hold their tongues?
Dolly, dear...
Our old failing, Dolly.
Silence.
Now, Mr. Boone, before they begin...
Be quick, sir, be quick.
Dear William.
Have you any intention of getting married?
I? Well, Finch calls me by my Christian name.
I will not have this. Mr. Boone, I use the young lady's Christian name naturally as an old friend of her mother's.
Yes, you call me Dolly as an old friend of my mother's, but what about Dorothea?
Keep your temper, McComas. Don't let us quarrel. Be patient.
I will not be patient. You're showing the most wretched weakness of character, Crampton. I say this is monstrous.
Mr. Boone, please bully Finch for us.
I will. McComas, you're making yourself ridiculous. Sit down.
I will not...
Sit down, sit down. Now, if she doesn't marry you, she will marry somebody else. That is the solution of the difficulty as to her not bearing her father's name. The other lady intends to get married.
Mr. Booth.
It's no use, Miss Clandon. You can't put me down. I tell you, your name will soon be neither Clandon nor Crampton. And I could tell you what it will be, if I chose. Mr. Crampton, your notion of going to law is all nonsense. Your children will be of age before you can get the point decided. You can do nothing but make a friendly arrangement. If you want your family more than they want you, you'll get the worst of the arrangement. If they want you more than you want them, you'll get the better of it. The strength of their position lies in their being very agreeable people personally. The strength of your position lies in your income. Give me my false nose. There.
Oh, now you look quite like a human being. Mayn't I have just one dance with you? Can you dance?
Yes. You think I can't, but I can. Come along.
On with the dance. Let joy be unconfined. William.
Yes, sir. Can you procure a couple of dominoes and false noses for my father and Mr. McComas?
Most certainly not. I protest...
No. What harm will it do just for once, McComas? Don't let us be spoiled for it.
Crampton, you're not the man I took you for. Bullies are always cowards.
Well, never mind. We must indulge them a little. Can you get us something to wear, waiter?
Certainly, sir. This way, sir. Dominoes and noses, sir?
I shall wear my own nose.
Oh, yes, sir. The false one will fit over it quite easily, sir. Plenty of room, sir. Plenty of room.
Come along, my boy. Come along.
Coming, Dad. Coming.
Why did Mr. Valentine go away so suddenly, I wonder?
I don't know. Yes, I do know. Let us go and see the dancing.
Excuse me. I thought the party had quite broken up.
Then why did you come back?
I came back because I'm penniless. I can't get out that way without a 5-shilling ticket.
Has anything annoyed you, Mr. Valentine?
Never mind him, Mother. This is a fresh insult to me. That is all. Gloria!
Mrs. Clapton, have I said anything insulting? Have I done anything insulting?
You have implied that my past has been like yours. That is the worst of insults.
I imply nothing of the sort. I declare that my past has been blameless in comparison with yours.
Mr. Valentine!
You go, Mother. I wish to speak to Mr. Valentine alone.
My dear, you... I beg your pardon, Gloria. Certainly, if you wish.
Oh, if your mother were only a widow, she's worth 6 of you.
That is the first thing I have heard you say that does you honor.
Stuff. Some, say what you want to say and let me go.
I have only this to say. You dragged me down to your level for a moment this afternoon. Do you think, if that had ever happened before, that I should not have been on my guard? That I should not have known what was coming and known my own miserable weakness.
Don't talk of it in that way. What do I care for anything in you but your weakness, as you call it? You thought yourself very safe, didn't you, behind your advanced ideas? I amused myself by upsetting them pretty easily.
Indeed.
But why did I do it? Because I was being tempted to awaken your heart, to stir the depths in you. Why was I tempted? Because nature was in deadly earnest with me when I was in jest with her. When the great moment came, who was awakened? Who was stirred? In whom did the depths break up? In myself. Myself. I was transported. You were only offended, shocked. You are just an ordinary young lady. Too ordinary to allow tame lieutenants to go as far as I went. That's all. I shall not trouble you with conventional apologies. Goodbye.
Stop. Oh, will you understand if I tell you the truth? That I am not making an advance to you?
Oh, I know what you're going to say. You think you're not ordinary, that I was right, that you really have those depths in your nature. It flatters you to believe it. Well, I grant that you are not ordinary in some ways. You are a clever girl. But you have not been awakened yet. You didn't care, you don't care. It was my tragedy, not yours. Goodbye. Let us part kindly.
Goodbye. I trust you will soon recover from the wound.
I shall recover. Such wounds heal more than they harm. After all, I still have my own Gloria.
What do you mean?
The Gloria of my imagination.
Keep your own Gloria, the Gloria of your imagination. The real Gloria. The Gloria who was shocked, offended, horrified, oh yes, quite truly, who was driven almost mad with shame by the feeling that all her power over herself had broken down at her first real encounter with...
Oh, take care. I'm losing my senses again. Oh, Gloria, be sensible. It's no use. I haven't a penny in the world.
Can't you earn one? Other people do.
I never could. You'd be unhappy, my dearest love. I should be the merest fortune-hunting adventurer if... Oh, Lord. Oh, I don't know anything about women. 12 years' experience is not enough.
Oh, I'm out of breath. How beautifully you waltz, William.
Oh, you make me do such a silly thing, Finn. I haven't danced since the soiree at South Place 20 years ago.
Mr. Valentine, now let us have no false delicacy. Tell my mother that we have agreed to marry one another.
Number 6. Oh, my feelings. I want to kiss somebody, and we vow it in the family. We're pinched.
No.
Oh, Daddy, you're just in time. Now, bless them.
No, I will have no such thing, even in jest. When I need a blessing, I shall ask my mother's.
Am I to understand that you've engaged yourself to this young gentleman?
Yes. Do you intend to be our friend or our father?
I should like to be both, my child, but... Surely, Mr. Valentine, I appeal to your sense of honor.
You're quite right. It's perfect madness. If we go out to dance together, I shall have to borrow 5 shillings from her for a ticket. Gloria, don't be rash. You're throwing yourself away. I'd much better clear straight out of this and never see any of you again. I shan't commit suicide. I shan't even be unhappy. It'll be a relief to me. I'm frightened. I'm positively frightened, and that's the plain truth.
You shall not go.
No, dearest. Of course not. But will somebody only talk sense for a moment and bring us all to reason? I can't. Where's Boone? Boone's the Mat Phil. Go and summon Boone.
From the vasty deep. I go.
If you will excuse my putting in a word, sir, do not let a matter of 5 shillings stand between you and your happiness, sir. We shall be only too pleased to put the ticket down to you, and you can settle at your convenience. Very glad to meet you in any way. Very happy and pleased indeed, sir.
He comes. The point is, Mr. Boone...
Excuse me, sir. The point must be put to him by a solicitor. The question is one of an engagement between these two young people. The lady has some property and will probably have a good deal more.
Possibly. I hope so.
And the gentleman hasn't a rap.
Then insist on a settlement. That shocks your delicacy. Most sensible precautions do. But you ask my advice, and I give it you. Have a settlement.
He shall have a settlement.
My good sir, I don't want advice for myself. Give her some advice.
Oh, she won't take it. When you're married, she won't take yours either. Oh, no, you won't. You think you will, but you won't. He'll set to work and earn his living. Oh, yes, you will. You think you won't, but you will. She'll make you.
Then, Mr. Boone, you don't think this match an unwise one?
Yes, I do. All matches are unwise. It's unwise to be born. It's unwise to be married. It's unwise to live. And it's wise to die.
Then, if I may respectfully put a word in, sir, so much the worse for wisdom.
Allow me to remark that if Gloria has made up her mind...
The matter's settled, and Valentine's done for. And we're missing all the dances.
Gloria, may I have a dance?
Excuse me, I claim that privilege as counsel's fee. May I have the honor? Thank you.
Dolly, may I have a
dance? Nonsense! Finge! My
Finge! No, pay restraint, really. No.
Mrs. Clandon, may I have
Counselor?
A dance?
I might as well be a married man already.
Cheer up, sir. Cheer up. Every man is frightened of marriage when it comes to the point. But it often turns out to be very comfortable, very enjoyable, and happy indeed, sir, from time to time. I never was master in my own house, sir. My wife was like your young lady. She was a commanding and masterful disposition, which my son has inherited. But if I had to live my life twice over, I'd do it again. I'd do it again, I assure you. You never can tell, sir. You never can tell.
In Bernard Shaw's comedy,
You Never Can Tell. Valentine was played by Dennis Hawthorne. Gloria Clandon by Prunella Scales. And The Waiter by Freddie Jones. Dolly Clandon, Joe Manning Wilson. Philip Clandon, Nigel Anthony. Mrs. Clandon, Betty Bascom. Fergus Crampton, Godfrey Kenton. Finch McComas, Lockwood West. Walter Boone, Michael Kilgarrett. And the parlor maid, Jane Knowles. The play was produced by Betty Davis.